The most exclusive lounge I've ever been to using points and miles was the Lufthansa First Class Terminal in Frankfurt, which it's not just a lounge, it's literally your own private terminal for first class guests. So that's like a private security, a private immigration, a private everything, including the lounge. And that included a la carte dining and nap rooms with a full size bed, or maybe it was a twin bed, I don't remember. And then the most famous aspect of that lounge is probably, oh, two things. Probably one, the fact that you get the rubber duckies and you could take a bath in that terminal, which is really cool. I'm not a bath person, but I was like, I need to take a bath. And then I have my rubber ducky from the terminal. And then the second, probably most well-known thing from that lounge is the fact that they drive you, usually in a Porsche, I think it was, to your plane directly.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Chris Dong from the Chris Wire. Chris is a travel reporter, editor, and travel strategist. He covers everything from the latest luxury hotels to the nuances of credit card rewards programs. His ultimate goal is to use storytelling to help people travel, stay, fly, and eat better. His work appears in Lonely Planet, Afar, The Washington Post, and Business Insider, amongst many others. In this episode, Chris and I discuss the world of airport lounges, including how to access them, the worst lounges in the world, and the best lounges that we have ever experienced. We also discuss the trend towards wellness in lounges and the importance of staying well and healthy during long flights. If you want airport lounge access for your next trip, consider the Capital One Venture X card. This card gives you access to both the Capital One lounges and the Priority Pass lounges worldwide. Remember, if you decide to apply for the Capital One Venture X card or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. And if you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And we have links to the Venture X card and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. One of the best things about booking business class flights is that you get access to exclusive airport lounges, even ones that aren't accessible simply by having a special credit card. But how do you book these business class flights for the best price possible? That's where PointMe comes in handy. PointMe is a live award availability search engine that finds the best flight deals across dozens of airlines. You can sort your results by the cheapest points flights, quickest flights, or even by PointMe's recommendations. All of their search results for dozens of different airlines are pulled in real time, so you're able to jump on those great flight deals before somebody else does. Check out PointMe by going to geobreezetravel.com/pointme and get your first three searches free. Again, that's geobreezetravel.com/pointme, PointMe. Hey Chris, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey Julia, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. You're probably the guest where I've been trying the longest to be like, we got to get Chris on the podcast, I think, since day one. So I am so excited that this day has finally come. Before we jump into talking about lounges and lounge life and the past of lounges and the future of lounges and all things lounges, tell us a little bit about you and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
So I got into travel and points and miles probably when I was in college and kind of the years thereafter. I was definitely on a shoestring budget for travel, and the places I wanted to go were typically not the typical college spring break destinations like the Cancuns or the Panama cities. I wanted to go to Auckland and I wanted to go to Iceland and other places that were a little more far flung. So I figured that I was going to try to figure out how to get there essentially on a budget. And how I got on points and miles was more on the really economy budget, like cash deals and also economy flight deals with using points and miles. But really, I got into it from the perspective of wanting to do it just to be able to travel. And I think ever since those years, I've evolved how I travel, and it's gotten more and more luxurious and more premium, which has been fun. But I essentially loved planning out and figuring out the logistics of travel. And I think I have that brain and mindset that a lot of people that are into points and miles already have. So I always loved like the boring stuff that like my friends don't enjoy, like the parts where you're figuring out where to go and how to get there. And that was what I would do as a kid, even for planning my family's trips. So I think it was a natural evolution from when I was younger to want to get into this whole world of travel planning and points and miles. And I've since evolved just figuring out how to book trips and to diving into the whole world of all the nuances of credit card points and points and miles, but also like more general travel topics like aviation and hotels too.
When was the first time that you got to experience a lounge at an airport?
Yes. So I would think this was back when I was still in college, about like 9, 10 years ago now, I think. The first lounge experience that I can think of was when, funny enough, my first premium card was actually an Amex Platinum. This was when I was like 22, I believe, or 21, 22. And it was a priority pass accessed lounge when I went to Seoul, or when I connected through Seoul on my way to the Philippines. So it was an ASEAN priority pass accessible lounge in Seoul's Incheon Airport.
That is much more random. I thought you were going to say something like, oh, it was in the Los Angeles airport.
No, yeah. I think at that time there was no priority pass accessible lounge where I was flying out of or whatnot. But for my first lounge, it was amazing. I think it's still a solid space. It was my first time taking a shower in a lounge in an airport, which kind of fundamentally changed how I view like flying, because having the access to a shower really does make a huge difference in your overall travel experience. And I think it's just blown away by the fact that there was a shower in a lounge or even in an airport, and that was even possible. Because growing up too, my family was very much budget travelers. We did not fly premium. We stayed at Hampton Inns and Holiday Inn Expresses on the side of the road. And we never would stay in town. We would always be the family that stayed 20 minutes out and we would drive in. And then, yeah, lounges were just never a thing. I had no idea what that life was like. But then once I started getting into points and miles and started becoming a little bit more bougie with my travel, I discovered the fact that you can access these lounges, and I got the Platinum card, and kind of the rest was history.
For anybody out there who is a budget traveler, what are some of the cheapest ways to access a lounge, even if it is the one where there's not necessarily hot food, but you can put together sandwiches and it's just a quiet area to sit and maybe get some free drinks or something? What's the cheapest way to get access to a lounge?
The priority pass method, which has been talked about so much through a variety of premium travel cards and even travel cards that don't necessarily have a super high annual fee, but maybe will give you a few passes per year. Those are the cards that probably are the best way to get into any kind of space, like a pre-departure space or even a connection when you're connecting, a space where you can access somewhere where you can at least grab a drink and grab a coffee and have a quiet space. Hopefully it's quiet if it's not super crowded. But as a lot of people know, lounges really vary in quality. Like it can be anything from flying in the back of economy to flying first class. All lounges across the spectrum are very different. A priority pass lounge typically is, especially in the US, is more on the economy flyer level, where it's not as nice as you might expect from what you hear from a more premium lounge. Yeah, that's just something to keep in mind. But really, the most affordable way is if you have access already through a credit card. If not, even being able to pay per entry. Sometimes it's only in the $30 to $40, maybe sometimes $50 range to go into a lounge if you have a 4 or 5 hour layover. That can be worthwhile in those cases to really take advantage of the space.
Does the Hilton Surpass still do the 10 punch card for a priority pass for the $95 annual fee? Do they still do that? Because that was the first way that I got access to lounges, was I was like, I don't know if I'm going to fly that much. So here's a $95 Hilton card. And then you could either go by yourself 10 times or you bring 9 friends and then you all just go to the lounge once. Do they still do that?
As I was saying that, that was the card I was thinking of, but I didn't say that card because I know it just got refreshed.
Surpass card did just get a refresh. No more priority pass on that one. So you can't do the same thing that I did a few years ago. What's the cheapest way to get priority pass through a credit card now? Is it still VentureX?
VentureX probably. I'll have to dig in to see what other cards might give you access. Even Surpass might have been the only one where it was like that punch card style. But yeah, I think it might be VentureX.
That would be for priority pass, but you could get something like a United card where it's 95 a year or so. And then you just get 2 club passes where it's not unlimited, but you can enter a United club once on a trip. And that should be enough if you are a very occasional flyer anyway.
Yeah. And some of the United clubs, especially as they've gotten a refresh in the past year or two, the new style United club actually is pretty nice. I was just last week or about maybe 2 weeks ago in Denver for the Capital One Lounge opening in Denver. And I checked out the 2 new United clubs out there and they are actually really nice. They are a little on the crowded side. Denver Airport in general is crowded, but the new decor is super nice. The food and drink is definitely a higher quality than most of the United clubs that I'm used to. So that's also just a helpful hint.
What is the worst lounge you have ever been to?
Probably, I'm thinking, I definitely heard of horror stories of lots of lounges. I've been in several which were, I wouldn't say horrendous, but like I would not go out of my way. Actually, not even, I'll take that back. I probably would not go back even if it was completely empty. There was a Plaza Premium lounge in India that I went to. I don't want to misspeak, but I think it was in Delhi. But this was probably 7-8 years ago at this point, so it might have changed at this point. But it was just oppressively hot inside. Like it was, I think that was, it was more of the issue of, yes, it was crowded, which I can deal with in some cases, but it was also just really warm inside. And I think, I just remember the Delhi airport being very warm in general, and then the lounge was even warmer. And it felt just like I was walking into a sauna, but it was a Plaza Premium lounge. I've heard the Delhi airport has gotten a lot nicer in the last few years, so I'm hoping that lounge does not exist anymore. But I've also heard really terrible things about the Swissport lounge in Chicago, that the international terminal where a lot of like international flights fly out of, and that's like a contract lounge a lot of airlines use. So I've heard that one is like one of the worst in the world, but I think from my personal experience, that one in Delhi was pretty bad.
I think one that was just hilariously bad was one that we both experienced in Savannah, Georgia, where there was a tiny little priority pass lounge that you could go into. And there was like one bathroom that you could go to. There was one filtered water station, which was out of order. You could make hot coffee or tea, but I couldn't figure out how to actually do that because the machine was like so complicated that I couldn't get it to put in the little tea powder packet. So I just had hot water. You could ask the attendant to scoop you free pretzels or free M&Ms or whatever snacks they had back there. But it was, in general, just hilariously tiny and ill-equipped. So that one was just like a hilariously bad lounge experience where I was like, there's nothing here. They don't have anything.
Also, another one that I remember recently that I went to, it's an Australian airline called Rex. They're like a smaller carrier and they just fly domestically. And I believe it was in the Melbourne airport. The lounge was essentially in the basement of the Melbourne airport. No windows, it was just like a cordoned off area. The worst airport lounges are the ones that don't have bathrooms inside. You have to go outside. And this was one of those that didn't have a bathroom. And I'm like, it actually was much more enjoyable to sit in the terminal than in the lounge. And I think that's something that's, I just wrote a story, actually, I'm writing a story now about some of the best airline lounges in the world. And as airports and terminals get renovated or even get built new from the ground up, a lot of terminals are actually really nice now, and they will continue to be improved. And sometimes it just makes sense to sit in the terminal if the lounge isn't good. So yeah, that's something I've experienced in recent times too. Maybe this lounge isn't worth my time if the terminal is just so nice already.
That's a good point. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm like getting into the lounge. But honestly, sometimes if it's a very far walk and I can just park myself at a gate that nobody's using and there's an outlet and there's free internet and I've got my own water bottle and snacks, we're good.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, maybe I'll just go in the lounge for the food or for a drink or something and then just find a nice quiet space in the terminal.
What's the best lounge you've ever been to?
Ooh, I have my favorite. I have two favorites. So the most exclusive lounge I've ever been to using points and miles was the Lufthansa First Class Terminal in Frankfurt, which it's not just a lounge. It's literally your own private terminal for first class guests. So that's like a private security, a private immigration, a private everything, including the lounge. And that included a la carte dining and nap rooms with a full size bed, or maybe it was a twin bed, I don't remember. And then the most famous aspect of that lounge is probably, oh, two things. Probably one, the fact that you get the rubber duckies and you could take a bath in that terminal, which is really cool. I'm not a bath person, but I was like, I need to take a bath. And then I have my rubber ducky from the terminal. And then the second probably most well-known thing from that lounge is the fact that they drive you, usually in a Porsche, I think it was, to your plane directly. And I remember in that experience, I was connecting. So I flew long haul international in first class from Mexico City to Frankfurt. And then I was connecting from Frankfurt to Copenhagen. The Frankfurt to Copenhagen is not first, but because you were in first, the first segment, you still get access. And the second segment, it was just like typical European style business, which is just a blocked middle seat. So it's not ideal, but you still get access and you still get driven to the plane, which is great. But I remember when I was getting driven to the plane, they asked me if I wanted to be like the first to board or the last. And I was like, okay, I'll just be the first. That's fine. Like I don't mind just like chilling out for a little bit and I don't like rushing. So I just remember though, it was a bus gate and I felt so bad because everyone else was taking a bus to the plane and they were actually waiting to let people off the bus until I got on the plane. And I was like, oh my, this is terrible. I feel like such a jerk. They're driving up in a Porsche and everyone is just still waiting on the bus. Hopefully they weren't waiting that long, but I was just like running up the stairs. I was like trying not to, I was like, I felt really bad. And I was like, really, no one please look at me while they were boarding. So that was the coolest. That overall lounge experience is probably the coolest. And that was the one time that I did that. Overall, I love the Cathay Pacific, the Pier First Class Lounge in Hong Kong. I've been through that space a lot of times just because I've One World Emerald status. And with that status, even if you're flying in economy, you can still get access in Hong Kong. And I love that space since it feels just a private living room, essentially. It's like very, very cozy, very intimate, like plush carpeting, wood walls. Like it feels really like mid-century modern and it's beautiful.
I haven't been to Hong Kong yet. I'm excited to experience the business class lounge. And this upcoming year, I booked a business class flight from Hong Kong over to Vietnam just to access the international business class lounge. So we'll see how that goes. But I think my favorite is probably the American Airlines flagship lounge in JFK because it's like a whole sit-down restaurant experience. That was a really nice lounge. One of the issues with lounges these days is they are getting very overcrowded because it's pretty easy to access. I feel like a lot of people since the pandemic have realized, oh, you just need a premium credit card. It's less than $400 a year and you can get unlimited food and drink for an entire family every time you travel. From the industry standpoint, do you think this is going to get better or that it's just going to keep getting worse and more crowded with lounges, especially with Amex trying to roll back some benefits and making it more expensive to have their card or anything like that? What do you see as the future of lounge life?
Yeah, it's such a funny, I guess, debate, if you call it that, because the reason why so many of these credit card accessible lounges are crowded is because too many people are getting these cards, right? But I think at the same time, there's tons of kind of competition in this space as time progresses. You have Capital One and now Chase entering the market for these credit card accessible lounges. For almost a decade, you just had Amex. So now you have these three new Capital One lounges that have opened, and I know they're opening several more. Chase has one in the US that's opened in Boston, and they have a whole lineup of lounges that are upcoming. So I think you're still gonna see crowds because regardless, people are gonna sign up for credit cards and people will be promoting credit cards. So the spaces themselves will never be that fully serene environment that is exclusive as like a first class lounge, like in Lufthansa's case or Cathay Pacific's case. That's never gonna happen because people are gonna get these credit cards. But I think what can mitigate some of these crowds is the fact that they're being spread out across more lounges. So there's so many more lounges opening up in the months and years ahead. So I think that's gonna help somewhat. And then you can look at Capital One strategy. They're the only lounge operators in general that offers grab and go, like a really strong, robust grab and go section. And in many cases, there's people that just want a bite to eat, like a quick bite to eat before they head to their gate. And instead of taking up valuable space within the lounge, Capital One's building out these grab and go sections at the entrance of the lounge. So you'll check in, get your grab and go, which is actually really solid. You have like full size sandwiches and salads and parfaits and lattes and all of that stuff. So, and they give you literally to-go bags, like huge to-go bags, so you can actually bring things to your flight. I think those types of things and new innovations will help. It's funny just talking about grab and go being an innovation, but like I guess in the world of lounges and how credit card companies and how airports operate, things are a little slower. So, but yeah, it is innovation in the sense that grab and go really wasn't a thing before Capital One's entry into this space a couple of years ago. So I'm hoping to see that from Amex and Chase and other lounges too, to help mitigate crowding, because sometimes people just want a sandwich and to head out. So I think that's going to be a big thing too.
I hope so. I think that would, like you just mentioned, would make it so much more convenient for people. And then you don't have to sit down and take up spaces. And especially if you're just stressed and you're like, I'm starving, I haven't eaten all day, I've been in transit, I just need a sandwich. If that was an option everywhere, I think that would remedy a lot of what we're seeing with the lounge overcrowding. Do you think Delta and other airlines are looking to do that with their lounges as well? Because Delta has made quite a few unpopular changes because their lounges, especially in Atlanta, have been notoriously crowded with everybody flying Delta. And then when they tried to roll back all of those different perks for people and being like, okay, we're going to make the lounges less crowded by letting fewer people into the lounges, that didn't exactly go over well with the general population. So how do you think this is going to change for airline-specific lounges?
I know United, actually, they rolled out a grab-and-go area in Denver. I think it's called like United Club Fly. So it's basically like an entire space dedicated to grab-and-go. It's not a full-fledged lounge, but it's a space that offers the ability to just literally scan your boarding pass, get entry, take what you need, and then head out. I know Delta is actually doing that too. I believe they have a grab-and-go section at JFK and maybe Boston, or when they were renovating in Boston, I think they had the grab-and-go. So I think, I definitely think it's, we're going to see more of that from even the airline side of the lounges. And I don't know the data in terms of if it works or not in terms of mitigating crowds, but it's just nice just from the consumer side to have that option at least. So I definitely see that as a method of hopefully mitigating some crowds or at least giving travelers that option from the airlines.
Any other innovations that you're expecting to see or hoping to see from the world of lounges other than grab and go options?
Yeah, so it's fun seeing this space kind of evolve and seeing what kind of partnerships come about from the amenities perspective. I know there's going to be a big push for wellness in lounges. And I think wellness as an industry catch-all term and a trend is just so big in travel in general. Like every year, the wellness industry just rose by the billions of dollars and whatnot. So I think that's going to continue to infiltrate not just what you consider the typical wellness things, like a spa and hotel, or yeah, like a facial, whatever. I think you'll see that even in airports. And we are seeing that in airports. I wrote a story recently for the Broad Report about kind of these wellness, what kind of wellness things you can see in airports now and what you might expect in the future. So something fairly recent, United just announced a partnership with Therabody, which their most famous thing that they make is like the Therabody gun, like the massage gun. They're going to offer a like suite, a reset suite is what they're calling it, with Therabody. And they're going to have like the massage guns and like the compression boots that like massage your legs and like a lounger that like you can take naps in. They're going to offer those types of amenities at all of the United Polaris lounges. So that's like an example of this wellness trend and these partnerships infiltrating more of the airport side as opposed to just thinking about wellness at hotels or in destinations. And then you have like Amex, they have in this in the JFK lounge, there's like a Centurion, they have an Equinox body lab, which is in the Centurion lounge. And that's like the same idea of like, you can just, I don't know, stretch and you can do your little wellness activities and your wellness things in this space. And then of course, like on board, this is in the lounge, but then the idea of having the lie flat bed and having eating healthy and having those types of amenities on board a plane also is just by nature, like an extension of all this. One example that I think of is like how Qantas, they're doing like the whole Project Sunrise thing where they're like, they brought scientists and they did a lot of research about what long haul flying does to the body, because they're going to be launching flights like directly nonstop from New York to Sydney. And that's a long flight. So they're like introducing like stretching spaces and all that. So it's interesting seeing this wellness and just like lifestyle trend with different partnerships and brands extend to the airport and in flight too.
What does long haul flying do to the body? And I have a feeling that I'm going to get shook by the response to this, because I can like feel certain things going on where I'm like, this is not good. But what did the scientists find?
I'm not a scientist, but from what I remember from this study, I think it's just the things that you typically expect in terms of like fatigue and general kind of, obviously you don't have as much oxygen on board typically at 30,000 feet. And yes, pressurized cabins do help with that, obviously, but it's not great for the body in general to be flying so much, which is bad for me and bad for you and bad for the people that fly a lot. But in general, I think as technology improves and we have planes like the Airbus A350 and the Dreamliner, which are better for your body, like in terms of pressurization and the quality of the air recirculating and all of that, that will help overall the passenger experience. But yeah, I think just in general, I think this is why for long haul flying, it's like you, for a lot of people, they want to break it up. Maybe if you're not flying in business or first class, to have a layover to stretch your legs or to take a shower in a lounge, just because it is tough on the body to be flying that many hours at once, especially as you get older. And I know in the case of Qantas, they're as I said, they're going to create some of these like stretching spaces on board for these ultra long haul flights. But that's not to say like, we already are flying like the New York to Singapore, for instance, the longest flight in the world. It's like, it's 16 to 17 hours. It's already a long, long, long flight. By doing like an 18, 19 hour flight from New York to Sydney, it's not that much more. So I think the data out there already shows like the impact on the body, but like people are doing it and most people are fine. So that's, I guess that's what matters.
I know that I should be wearing more of the compression socks and the compression leggings and all of that on board. I think it'll be interesting if lounges can incorporate some of that where they're just like, here's all the things you knew you were supposed to be doing on that plane, like drinking enough water. I heard at some point you were supposed to drink like 8 ounces of water for every hour that you're flying, and nobody is actually keeping up with that. So if there was just like a super hydration station at these lounges, if there were more lounges that had lounge upon arrival, because that's not that common, right? It's usually just lounge for departure. Where can you find lounges upon arrival?
A big one is in London, especially it's catered towards business travelers. For those that take the red eyes, like the overnight flights, since it arrives usually typically in the morning, and then a lot of folks go straight to meetings or go straight into the city. Those lounges, a lot of them offer like the business like amenities, like they'll press your garments while you shower, which is cool. Lounges on arrival are typically, from what I gather, more tailored towards the business traveler as opposed to leisure. Hong Kong used to have a lounge on arrival that closed during the pandemic or just right before. But yeah, there's not a lot of lounges on arrival. You're right. I would love to see more of those spaces.
I'm also surprised lounges don't sell loungewear in the lounge. If there was Capital One loungewear pajamas that they just had on sale, we would all be wearing them right now. We would all be rocking the Capital One loungewear. So I'm surprised that they haven't really capitalized on, oh, maybe we have a for sale section instead of just like the here's everything free section.
I didn't even think of that, but I don't even know if there's like a Lululemon store anywhere, like in an airport. I don't think I've seen one. I feel like they would make a killing in an airport.
Absolutely, because one time I realized I forgot to pack shorts and it was going to be very warm on this Emirates flight. So I had to go to, I think it was just the JFK Welcome to America USA store. And then I have these USA shorts that I had to buy for $28 right then and there. If they sold some nice pajamas in a lounge, buy your loungewear here, I would buy them. And I'm sure a lot of people who are like, I forgot to pack this thing for my flight, I'm surprised they don't just sell those at a discount. Like, use your Amex card and you get 10x points if you buy loungewear in the lounge or amenity kits in the lounge. So hopefully one That's of the execs idea. Listens to this and they're like, we're making it happen. Cool. So any other upcoming innovations that you know of in the world of lounges, any other changes that you're expecting to see as we wrap up the episode?
I think in general, as people get more access or as more folks get the right credit card or they'll fly in a premium cabin ticket and they'll get access to a lounge, I think we're going to see continued like stratification of what lounges are. We're not going to, as I said earlier too, lounges are built so differently depending on the space. So you can have really bare bones spaces like you talked about in Savannah, or you can have the most luxurious experience at the Lufthansa first class terminal. I think we're going to continue to see like differentiation within lounges because more and more people are getting access to lounges, and we're going to just have to cater specific lounges to specific demographics and not just say like, oh, you have access to an airport lounge, because as we know, airport lounges are so different. So I think we'll just continue to have to reckon with the fact that, well, maybe you'll not get as many accesses to this specific lounge space, but maybe you'll get access to one that's like a lower tier. I think we're just going to continue to see that stratification. I'm thinking of like how Delta, for instance, is finally going to have their business class lounges open. The first one is going to open next year in 2024 for the first time. So you don't just have the Sky Club, you also have the Delta One lounge, which is like a higher level a la carte dining style lounge. And then you have, if you want to go beyond even the world of points and miles, you can talk about like PS, like the private suite, which for several years was just an LAX. They're opening, or they just opened the first location in Atlanta, and they're going to be opening other ones in Miami and other locations across the country. And those lounges are literally the most private you can possibly get. And it's a pay per access type of thing where it's its own private security. It's its own lounge. It's its own everything. Similar to the Lufthansa first class lounge. They don't care who you're flying. It's just like a space that is dedicated to the pre-departure or arrival experience. And I think it's like $800, $900 per access. And that doesn't include anything except for the whole like lounge experience and the whole like drive to the plane experience. So yeah, I think you're going to continue to see this like stratification of lounges and trying to cater to different demographics.
Awesome. As we wrap up here, what would you say is your number one tip for people who are looking to make the most out of their lounge experiences when they're traveling?
I would say research when you're departing your airport or wherever you're leaving from. Look to see what lounges are available, because For instance, if you're flying in a business class ticket on points or something, the airline might direct you to a specific lounge that they want you to use, but you actually might have access to a variety of other lounges. An example that I can think of right now, the best example is if you're flying, let's say, American Airlines business class out of London Heathrow, that's Terminal 3. And that terminal has so many amazing oneworld lounges and partner lounges that American flyers can use, but they'll direct you to the Admirals Club, or they'll direct you to the American Airlines lounge, which is probably the worst. So you'll have access to, if you're flying a business on American, you'll have access to the Cathay Pacific lounge there, the Qantas lounge there. There's a British Airways lounge, which is okay, not as great, but probably still slightly better than the Admirals Club. So I think what my tip is, when you have access to a lounge, do research to see what lounges you can access, because sometimes it's better than the one the airline directs you to.
Great tip. And speaking of great tips, can you give a shout out to somebody else on the internet that you would recommend listeners follow for even more points and miles tips?
I would say you should follow Juan Ruiz, who I used to work with at The Points Guy, and we freelance together at a variety of places. His handle's at Double Duty Daddy, and he has a lot of family travel tips, but also just general points and miles tips too.
Awesome. And where can we find you on the internet?
I'm at The Chris Flyer, and I'm on Twitter, Instagram, all the socials. And I also do a newsletter. I have been on hiatus for that newsletter for the last 9-10 months. But all that info is on my Instagram, so you can check the link in bio.
Thank you again, Chris, for coming onto the show and sharing all of your knowledge about points and miles and lounge life, which is one of the favorite parts of, I think, getting into the points game. A lot of people are like, I didn't realize that I also get lounge access, not just free flights or free hotels or everything else like that, but it really does improve the airport experience. So thank you so much for coming onto the show and sharing all of your knowledge with us.
Thanks for having me, Julia.